God, in His grace, has a way of turning our lemons into lemonade. He can make good come even out of our bad decisions. Joshua cut a bad deal with the Gibeonites, but God used it for the long-term benefit of His people. And guess what? He can use your bad calls to work out His ultimate purposes. Today, insights on what can come from your bad decisions. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on getting started right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us in Joshua chapter 9 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on let's make the best of a bad decision and see the outcome God brought to pass.
I'd like to just conclude here at verse 26. Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the community and for the altar of the Lord at the place where the Lord would choose. And that is what they are to this day. Centuries go by. Nehemiah comes back from the captivity, and he's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And in the book of Nehemiah, it speaks about Gibeonites who are there helping. What an interesting story. What does it tell us about bad decisions? Three lessons that can be burned upon your mind, your heart, and even written in the flyleaf of your Bible, if you have enough room to do so. Number one, God does not abandon us when we've made a bad decision. God doesn't abandon us. God didn't say to Joshua, well, you know, you've made this bad decision, and so in no way am I going to be with you or guide you or help you. No, as a matter of fact, it is a curse that the Gibeonites were under. But isn't it beautiful that along with a curse there is blessing, that you're going to have these people actually help serve in the temple? Eventually the temple here in the wilderness, in the tabernacle, and they are going to have, be as servants and helping worship happen. That's a marvelous thing. There you can see the grace of God, can't you? Because God does not abandon His people when they make bad decisions. Let's take a better example, maybe even of the principle, or one equally as well. I'm thinking of Kadesh Barnea. The children of Israel come and they see the land and they spy it out, and the spies come back, and all the spies except two say, we can't go in, and two of them, Caleb and Joshua, say, yes, we can. And all the people say, we're scared, we're not going in. Now, you know what God could have done? The Bible says that God was angry, and says it says in effect that God's anger was kindled against His people. God was really, really upset about their decision. God could have said, well, you know, if you want to make your bed, you lie in it. I'm finished with you guys. Just go your own way. After all that, look at that, you disbelieve me. It's not what God does. What does He do? He guides them in the desert. He gives them manna every single morning. He gives them water in the desert. He causes the desert to have springs of water. And then because they didn't have enough animals from which they'd be able to get enough clothes for those 38 years in the desert, what does He say? He says, your clothes did not wear out. You could wear the same coat day in and day out, and it would not get worn. And your sandals did not wear out. God says, I take care of you in the desert. This is where some people go wrong. They make a bad decision. God blesses them in spite of it, and they say, well, you know, maybe this wasn't unscriptural after all. No, not necessarily. It's just the mercy of God. It's just that God does not abandon His people. God says, I will walk with you through this bad decision. Joshua, I'll be there with you. And these folks are going to be a thorn in your side, but they're also going to be a blessing, and they're going to be a help. They're going to be both. And that's what happens when we make wrong decisions. That's number one. God does not abandon us. Number two, God takes the consequences, and this is a little longer to say, God takes the consequences of our decisions, and that is bad decisions, and uses them and weaves them, that's even a better word, weaves them into His plans and purposes. He takes the consequences of bad decisions and weaves them into plans and purposes. Look at this. Your Bible is open to the 10th chapter now, because we've read to the end of 9. And this is the great chapter where the sun stood still. Did you know why this happened? It's because Joshua had made a treaty with the Gibeonites and had to defend them. You see, what happened is the other people in the land got together and they said, you know, the Gibeonites have made a treaty with Israel. And so what we're going to do is we're going to gather a coalition of kings and armies and we're going to fight against Gibeon and try to rub them out. But Joshua was bound by a treaty. So what does he do? He fights in behalf of the Gibeonites. And that's why today we have that remarkable story of whatever happened when the sun stood still, and there's some debate exactly what happened that day, but there's no doubt it was a great miracle. And Joshua stood there and said, "Sun, stand thou still in Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And so we have here this remarkable answer to prayer and this remarkable victory. And that's all part and parcel, you see, of God's purposes. He weaves it into his plans. I suppose that the person who is best known in all of history as an adulterer was David. David commits adultery. Bathsheba should never have been his wife. He even murders a man to cover his sin. Solomon is born of Bathsheba. We could argue, you know, strictly speaking, Solomon should not have been born, etc., etc., because David should have never had Bathsheba. But Solomon is born. And what does God say to Solomon? God says, "Solomon, I love you." In fact, it says the Lord loved him. And later on he says, you know, "I'm loving you because of your servant David's sake. Your father David, my servant." God and David had this thing going between each other. There's no question about it. But notice God blesses it. You know, Jephthah, does that name ring a bell to you? Do you say, "Boy, it's been a long time since I've read my New Testament, but I do remember that Jephthah is a judge that was used by God in the book of Judges." You know what it says of him? "Jephthah was the son of a prostitute." You see, what God does is he takes all of the human failure and all of the bad decisions and he weaves them, you see, into his own piece of cloth. In fact, if we had more time, and someday I'd like to do a series of messages on bad decisions, if we had more time, I would show you that right from the beginning, God has always been doing that. He's been taking messes that we hand to him and doing something with them. Let me give you a third encouragement. God stands ready to help you, not just in decisions that you have made that have been bad, but decisions that other people have made for you. Because today I speak to some people who are the victim of other people's bad decisions. You'll notice, for example, that the Israelites here, they grumbled at their leaders. But the leaders said, "Hey, look, we made the oath, and so what we have to do is to stick with it." You see, there are times when we make decisions that other people, that impact others negatively. I think, for example, of the time of Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to enter the land. And you remember the rest of the people said no. So God condemns them to 38 years of wandering, and Joshua and Caleb had to become a part of that motley group, that complaining group, for 38 years. They could say, you know, "This isn't our fault. We wanted to go in." God says, "Yes, but you know what? You are suffering some of the fate of these people because you're a part of them." That's the way life is. But here's the good news to you today, my friend. God is just as ready to help you in bad decisions that others have made for you that impacts you as he is in bad decisions that you have made for yourself. I guess what I'm trying to say is that there is indeed more grace in God's heart than there is sin and failure and hopelessness in your past. God helps us. Let me simply say that there is one right decision that we can make. There's always one right decision, and for this I need to go to the New Testament. If you're listening here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior and you come with emptiness and you come with a mess, well, I want you to know you've certainly come to the right place. And if you come to Jesus, you've come to the right person. So what you do is you come even as you are. Now, there's a right decision you can make. For as many as received him, to them he gives the authority to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. So for those of you who don't know Christ as Savior, there's a right decision. The fact that you are alive, and that's one of the requirements that we have for you to attend Moody Church here. We maybe don't have many, but being alive is one of them. Or you're listening to this by way of cassette or radio, that also requires the same essence. The fact that you are alive means, no matter how boxed in you are, in fact, this broadcast may be going to people who are prisoners or whatever, literally hemmed in because of bad decisions. I want you to know that there is still one decision that you can make, and that is to receive Christ as Savior and to say, I believe in Him. For those of you who know Christ, you know what God wants to do? He wants to use that bad decision to teach you lessons that perhaps you could never possibly learn in any other way. The lesson of dependence, the lesson of brokenness, the lesson of humility, the lesson of patience, the lesson of saying, oh God, here I am, do with me as seems good in thy sight. God is waiting to hear that from me and from you and from everyone. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because He was my friend. But then instead of leaving Him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that are my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, how can you be so slow? My child, he said, what could I do? You never did let go. Along with a curse, there is blessing. Along with failure, there is grace. And I extend to you today the arms and the promises of Jesus. Let go. Do as seems good in thy sight, and He'll walk with you through that experience. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want to ask you a question today. What is the worst decision that has ever been made? Well, I think it was the decision that Adam and Eve made. They had everything going for them, living in a perfect environment with food and fellowship with each other and with God. And in the midst of that, they decided, of course, to rebel against God, and you know that whole story. But here's my point. God was ready to meet them at the point of their need, wasn't He? As a matter of fact, He took the skins of animals and covered them so that they might not be ashamed. And those skins remind us of the coming of Jesus Christ and the covering of the precious blood of Jesus Christ over our sin. So, my friend, no matter what your failure is today, God is there to cover it, to forgive it, and to give you the encouragement to keep on going in His name.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has just wrapped up Let's Make the Best of a Bad Decision, the fifth message in his series, Getting Started Right, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. Tomorrow, Joshua is in a real tight spot. Join us as we see him experience the power of prayer. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Getting Started Right can be yours as a six-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.